You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Content warning. Nerd Bliss is intended for a mature audience.
The time is Labor Day weekend. The place is downtown Atlanta, Georgia. As you make your way through the bustling crowd of Peachtree Street, you quickly realize that this is not your typical stroll through the city. The sidewalks and crosswalks are very crowded, even for downtown Atlanta. You can scarcely see beyond your current vantage point for all the people around you. And the people themselves are not the typical city denizens. You pass by groups of Sailor Scouts, Starfleet officers, Spartans, Crystal Gems, and countless anime characters. You realize that you've been followed this whole time by an entire squad of clone troopers. And you could have sworn you saw Batman holding hands with a woman who appeared to be the Joker. My friend, you have arrived in Geek Paradise. You've discovered DragonCon. DragonCon was founded in 1987 by the Dragon Alliance of Gamers and Roleplayers. From its humble beginnings, it has grown to well over 80,000 in attendance. It takes up convention space in five of downtown Atlanta's large hotels and spills over into two convention centers. Due to concerns over the threat of COVID-19, the convention was an online-only affair in 2020. But the main convention returned for 2021, even though we were still in the middle of the pandemic. How did we fare at the hugely attended convention with COVID-19 still a threat? Find out on episode 151 of Nerd Bliss.
Standing by the launch.
Connect interlocks.
Dial turret
connected.
Fire and power.
Reactor
attacks
in
power.
All stations.
Ready.
Where it is.
It's now online.
To kill him right back.
This is the way.
Hello, Nerd Blisters, and welcome back for episode 151. Got another one to file under the This One's a Little Late category. So this is going to be volume two of that series. This is where Tina and I went to DragonCon. Now, that, of course, was over Labor Day weekend in Atlanta, Georgia. This one's a little bit dated, but better late than never, right? Just a couple of quick notes. Since this is a little late, I can tell you, during the recording, I mentioned that we would let you know if Tina and I got sick from our trip, and thankfully, we did not. Neither one of us contracted COVID from DragonCon, so yay. Also, I mentioned at one point in the recording that I was there to see Tress McNeil. Turns out Tress McNeil did not actually make it to the con, so I just wanted to address that. But without any further ado, here's Tina and I talking about DragonCon.
Course navigation locked. Engaging hyperdrive in 3, 2, 1.
So we're going to talk about DragonCon.
We are. I always lose track of what day of the week it is at DragonCon because Thursday is Friday at calendar Thursday is Friday at DragonCon. It's day one. Right. So it feels like Friday, but then Saturday is kind of Saturday at a con because it's the biggest and busiest day.
Right. There's no mistaking Saturday at the con.
And Sunday is like Saturday light. Friday is Saturday light, and then Saturday is like full on double Saturday.
Sunday is Saturday leftovers.
Yeah, well, it's like heavy Sunday, and then Monday is like normal con Sunday, when like almost everybody is just checking out of their hotel, but like there's still some shit going on.
Right. Now, the con still officially starts on Friday.
And now they've been saying for years now that, you know, the joke was that Thursday is the new Friday. Well, now there's stuff going on Wednesday. So now the joke is Wednesday is the new Thursday.
See, so Thursday is pretty much...
It's like, pretty much it, programming.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it is.
Like the opening ceremonies are on Friday. So if we're demarking it by that, then, you know.
Are we?
No. Nobody is.
No.
You know, I'm here with my man on the street microphone. I bet if I went downstairs right now and asked how many people, you know, sat for the or watched the opening ceremonies. It's just not, you don't come to Con for the opening ceremonies. It's just
no.
But anyway, I'm beleaguering.
Even at smaller cons, I am much, much, much more likely to go to closing ceremonies, especially if shit went down. If shit went down, bring your fucking popcorn. But we're not here to talk about small conventions. We're at, well, a smaller convention than it's been in a long, long time.
We're at a small, big convention.
Yeah, yeah.
Dragon Con typically tops 80, 90,000 people. Typically, this was before the pandemic.
Typically, they do not cap registration, and it's already in downtown Atlanta, so there's a shit ton of people just living their lives and coming and looking around and
living La Vida Lanta.
Like, it is a lot of people. They don't cap registration like San Diego Comic-Con has a cap, even though there's like a whole lot of things that bring a lot of people to San Diego for satellite stuff, and everybody is aware of that at this point as well. But just the running in jokes on Dragon Con TV and on the official Facebook pages about crowds and lines.
Let's ask the big question in the room here. Mm-hmm. We are still in the middle of a pandemic. We have got the Delta variant out there, and we are at the biggest sci-fi media fantasy convention in the Southeast, or the East Coast, probably. The question is, what are we doing here?
And also, like, the partiest of them.
Yes.
Like, understanding that if you've been to a comic book convention in a convention center where everybody goes back to their hotels at night and is in their hotels, that is not Dragon Con.
Right.
That's not how we do it down in Atlanta.
That ain't how it rolls at the Dragon.
No. So here's the thing. They have never capped registration. They have never released registration numbers because the fire marshals don't really love Dragon Con the way we do. And this year they both capped. I don't know if they sold out. Last I knew, even days before the con, they hadn't sold out. And they did move things around for more room for things in certain areas and cancel certain things that are more high risk.
Right.
And maybe a month, more than a month out from the con, they had announced masks required. No ifs, ands, or buts. We're going to have security. Hotels are going to have a lot of people out monitoring that. Like, it's not a fucking game, to quote my man DMX.
DMX, yes.
Maybe 3 weeks before the con, as the Delta variant started to become such a serious threat as it has,
right?
They announced that they would be requiring either proof of vaccination, you know, full vaccination, so 2 weeks out from your second shot.
Right.
Like a real deal.
Mm-hmm.
Or a clean COVID test within 72 hours.
Right.
You know, you can pay to have it done on site, which actually I'd rather have you pay to have it done on site, because that is like, it's still not conclusive proof that you aren't carrying COVID. That, I mean, frankly, as careful as we are and as little as we're out and about, I can't prove I wasn't carrying COVID when I got here Thursday.
Well, there's only,
I don't know.
Even now, there's still only so much we can do to try and detect it, treat it, what have you.
But with so few exceptions, I can think of two people I've noticed in indoor public spaces, you know, with their masks down, mm-hmm. you know. But the vast majority of people are wearing masks, are wearing good, well-fitting masks, mm-hmm. like they're supposed to. I got a box of the N95s. Thank you, Costco.
Yes, we're doing our part to not spread the Delta variant.
And I got it. I didn't do that until the Delta variant came up, and that it was obvious that people that were vaccinated were getting sick, and some of them getting seriously sick. So, you know, it's like I have done everything I can to keep myself, my family, and my community safe. And frankly, let's talk about the other elephant in the room. The rental of this elephant is non-refundable.
Yes.
Like, if you have never, like, if you book a hotel room normally, it's totally fine to cancel up until pretty late.
Right.
But we paid for this 2 years ago, so we're here.
Yes.
I mean, granted, I think if certain things were different in our lives, if one of us were really, really immunocompromised, if right. you have young children, I wonder if that calculus would be different.
There are factors that would have prevented us from coming, even though our hotel room was $1,800 upfront, non-refundable.
But
yeah, the hotel room is $1,800 upfront, non-refundable.
But honestly, like, just get... Our big thing was like, we will get away for the 5 days and be in the hotel room. We have eaten in the hotel room the whole time. No eating out, no food court even. What the hell? We'll probably go to Aviv. Am I getting the name of the...
The Sundial?
No. Well, we can go to the Sundial, but I want to go to the Mediterranean place in the food court that's amazing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They're just wonderful people.
Right. So, Monday.
Yeah, probably Monday would be good because, you know, most people have gone home.
The fuck out, yes.
Of course, it'll be like the regular people. Well... We wouldn't have any office workers because it's Labor Day. Anyway, maybe. But we have been we have also personally not attended a lot of things, a couple concerts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the big fan panels would probably be more than I'd be comfortable with, just because the amount of time you're in there and the amount of people... Mm-hmm. Just wasn't quite ready for that. Plus, to be honest, like, I can see a lot of that on DCTV, and a lot of these folks, they're going to be back next year. So right. that's
right.
And we've talked about that on the podcast.
There is one voice actor here that I worry that I will not get the chance to meet again, and that's Tress McNeil. She's just not. She doesn't hit these conventions at the same. With the same enthusiasm or with the same schedule, we'll say, as the others do.
Yeah, that's true. But with a second season of Animaniacs, the Animaniacs revival.
Right.
You know, her siblings are going to make sure she's around.
Yeah. I hope so. And it's, and again, Dragon Con, for those of you who are not familiar, there's a, like a closed circuit, live stream programming that is available in every hotel room in the host hotels. And that's 5 downtown Atlanta hotels. And you can watch a lot of the large panels from your hotel room. Now, it's not the same as being there, but to be there, you usually have to line up 2 hours or more before the event, and you're standing in line that long. And yes, people do it. And yes, the room fills up.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing that, like, when there's not a pandemic, I like to think about one big panel a day. Like, I want, if I have to get there 2 fucking hours early and pretend we're not aligned with a bunch of people for a while, and then become a line and stand there and send somebody out for food and whatever.
Right.
Like, hey, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Will you hold my spot? That's good. And that kind of the contrast, because a lot of, I mean, you can watch panels on YouTube all day.
Right.
But the energy of being there is,
it's worth it.
Special. Like, right. It is kind of the point of conventions, that we are with people that understand why these stories that, you know, because it is mostly we're here to talk about fictional shit.
Right.
Why it's important.
And I've never gone to a panel that I have waited that long in line for, like 2 hours or more in line, and went, well, this totally wasn't worth the wait.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Well, pick them carefully. Like, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Go to the ones you're interested in. Yeah. That's a foregone conclusion.
It's like, if you're like, don't go to the thing that, like, you've seen a couple episodes of and your friend really likes. Like, go to the thing that you are super excited about.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And there's plenty here to be excited about. They cover a lot of bases. There's
also, you know, pro tip, if you are staying over Monday and leaving Tuesday, because, you know, Monday is like kind of a half day of programming.
Right.
You don't have to check out of your hotel, but everybody else does. So you can get into basically any panels there are.
Right.
So
you can focus on the con stuff without having to worry about getting your stuff packed up and getting it to the car and get checked out on time.
Yeah. 2019, we literally, I think we sat through 3 panels. So unlike, specifically San Diego Comic-Con, they cleared the rooms after the panel. So you can't fucking squat in the yeah. I don't think that's right.
It's not.
It's not right. And I understand that, like, they do it because it's basically a bunch of media people in there. It's not about the fans.
Right.
I may never go to San Diego Comic-Con, but and I might. Maybe I will, and I would have a good time, but I already know it's not Dragon Con.
Well, Dragon Con is our heart.
It is. It is
the cornerstone of my year. Mm-hmm. It is my New Year's, my Christmas. Everything revolves around Labor Day weekend and this trip, and I plan for it. And this is it's our thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now, it did not happen in 2020 like everything else. It was canceled due to the pandemic.
Well, they went digital, so was good.
Yeah, they did have a digital event. I did not participate in that. I probably should have. But
the only thing, we watched the parade, and that was great. The way they did it and had everybody send in video clips was really nice.
Yes, that was quite entertaining. And it did, we did get to feel a little piece of the Dragon Con spirit when we got to watch that. But, and again, the big question mark for this year was, is it responsible to be here? We made the choice to be here. We already mentioned the hotel room. We were committed to the hotel room regardless. They were not going to let us roll our reservation over to the next year. They did that for the 2020 folks. But they were not prepared to do that again this year because the convention actually happened. So we have been very, very adamant about being responsible about the pandemic, about staying home unless you have to be out, about wearing your masks, about getting vaccinated. So this particular move may seem antithetical to us. We wanted you to understand what led us to the decision to be here. As Tina pointed out, proof of vaccination was required or a clean COVID test. The safety team, formerly called the security team, are enforcing the wearing of masks in all the indoor public spaces.
Well, and I do want to point out that the safety team is the Dragon Con volunteers. Shout out to the people that have worked so hard for free to make this happen.
And I believe that they're also doing like a reduced seating protocol in the rooms.
There's like space between the chairs, guys. There's like it's a few inches, but there's less people in the rooms, which the best model that I had read about as far as like COVID prevention and safety measures. Besides, everybody get your fucking vaccine. Get your vaccine.
If you need to hear it from both of us, you're hearing it from both of us. Get your vaccine.
If you want to talk about the science and sources and stuff, you know, hit somebody up that you trust, that cares about you, because we do care about you. Like, I'm sorry, I will make irreverent jokes about fucking people that won't get vaccinated, but it's not because I don't love you.
Talk to your own doctor. Okay, get that information from your doctor of your choosing. And if you got one of the doctors that is one of the outliers, I'm sorry.
Well,
good luck with that.
Actual doctors, it's very small percentage. Actual, right. Like, okay, so I happen to work in somewhat close to the medical field and end up having to explain the difference between like a doctor and a like your primary care provider can be like a nurse practitioner or a physician's assistant.
Right.
Okay. Though that level of medical professional is what I want you to seek out, not your friend that it's a CNA.
Right. Right.
Like, I mean, much love. And I want the CNAs and the techs to get vaccinated because they work hard and they deserve it.
It was the dawn of another podcast. The Epsilon 3 is a dream given form. It's a home away from home for three guys to watch a 90s sci-fi classic TV show. Three guys with microphones over 3,249 miles apart, all alone in the night. The year is 2021. The name of the station is Babylon 5. The name of the podcast is the Epsilon 3. Veer, bring me a drink.
Okay, promo for the Flopcast. Let's go.
First, I need an adjective.
Naked.
Need a noun.
Wombat.
Place.
Woonsocket, Rhode Island.
Number.
251.
Okay then, the Flopcast is a naked podcast about cartoons, music, comics, movies, and wombats. Find us on the ESO Network and flopcast.net. Go ahead and listen to it in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. 251 times.
Thank you.
it will only be fair, since we're here and we've given you all the reasons why we made the choice to be here, we're going to follow up. And if we get sick, we will be upfront about that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And again, Tina and I are both vaccinated. We don't think, because we're vaccinated, we don't think we are particularly high risk. So anyway, what I'm saying is we'll be transparent about it. If it was a mistake to come here, and we find out about that, we find out later that we should not have come, we'll say it.
And certainly there are people at this convention that are choosing to make grave mistakes in non-public spaces.
Right.
And I'm very sorry that that is happening. The only other people we don't have any roommates this year. That's fucking weird.
Right.
But we've been with the Fall Horsemen and History of Comic Books crew.
Yes. And Ring of Thunder as well.
Indeed.
And they had our party materials. I neglected to bring our party materials, and it mostly because it was, again, just Tina and I in the room.
Well,
so
we had to rely on Jessica for the twerking anyway.
Yes. Twerking was provided courtesy of the Fall Horsemen. Thank you, Jessica Moser.
I think before I started ranting about getting your vaccines, I was going to mention like a Swiss cheese model, where none of the things that you can do to protect yourself from COVID, short of literally staying in your bubble,
right,
are going to be 100% effective.
Right.
So we have extra cheese. We have vaccines, we have the masks, we have, you know, being cautious about like being in a crowded space for too long.
We are not going out to eat. Mm-hmm. We brought our food so that we don't have to go to restaurants. I did have some food delivered.
And eating out with the restaurant staff shortages, and knowing you have, if you're going to go to a sit down restaurant these days when it's busy, I learned this going to Myrtle Beach a couple months ago, you really need a reservation. So
yes,
there's also that.
Yes. And we do, we mentioned going to the Sundial. This, to give you some context here, we're staying in the Westin Peachtree Plaza in Atlanta, Georgia. Look it up. It's a very beautiful building.
It is the tallest hotel in the Western Hemisphere.
So they say. That's what I hear. And the Sundial is at the very top. It's a round building. I call it the Silver Cigarette. It looks like a giant cigarette sticking in the skyline of Atlanta. And it used to be a rotating restaurant, but it's 80-something floors up. So you get a good view of the city, and it's right here in our hotel. So we just have to jump in an elevator, shoot upstairs in the glass elevator. I like that ride, by the way.
And it is a really, like, it is a wonderful dining experience. The view is phenomenal. We've been up daytime and nighttime. If you're only going to do one, I would recommend daytime.
Yep. But to the point of, we aren't going out to eat, we are making that one exception simply because it's right here next to our home base.
We should probably figure out when that's going to be and make a reservation.
Yeah, we probably should. And it looks like it's going to be tomorrow.
It's nice enough dining, honestly, that there's like, as far as distance of tables and stuff, that was already kind of built in. Like, it's nice.
Yes.
And every now and then you need a nice restaurant. I mean, you'll need a snack later because they don't give you like a lot of food, nice.
But man, it's good food. And I'm usually, when we've gone, it's been for breakfast. We have gone on it for dinner before, at least once.
See, I'm thinking, but it usually ends up being brunch food. Brunch, so it's, yeah, like.
But I'm just a big fan of their shrimp and grits.
Yeah. Yeah.
maybe I'll splurge and get a steak this year since we didn't, you know, spend a whole lot of money on food.
Yeah, yeah.
But we did buy some pop art though.
Yeah. I wasn't gonna buy anything,
but
I got excited.
All right, so in
to be fair,
I wanted to visit comic artist Andy Price. I've made no secret about the fact that Tina and I are both My Little Pony fans, and he is one of the artists for IDW Comics who draws the My Little Pony comic book. So he has some phenomenal art. He does Star Trek stuff too, and that's really awesome. And we like that as well. But I wanted to see what he had this year. He usually has different prints available each year. And so I wanted to go at least do that. And I wasn't sure I was going to do it. The line to get in was really, 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 really long. But we got through it. So that is what put Tina in the position to spend the money she wasn't planning to spend. Well, so there you go.
I have not accepted about myself, apparently, that is really not. I don't know that I'm physically capable of it. I mean, I'd have to leave all my money and my husband, and his very nice slidey cards that work at home. Yes. And then go. That's
yes.
We had that conversation as we were leaving because we really should have brought a bag. Yeah. To put our stuff in. And we didn't, partly because I wasn't really planning on buying anything. But I got some comic books and I got some new art and I talked to the artists and it was nice.
It was nice. So besides that, we went to, of course, we went to a Mikey Mason concert and we went to see Valentine Wolf, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done a lot of the panels on DCTV, in our rooms. So we felt like we have conned. Mm-hmm. Maybe not as much as we would on a regular year outside of the pandemic, but we definitely didn't waste our Dragon Con membership for this year, I don't think. And we still got some time to do some other things, so we may not. Again, we're just trying to be smart about it. Like intelligent about it, not smart like smart mouthed.
Right. Know. Yeah. I mean, the more party centric hotel lobbies, I don't necessarily want to be.
Oh yeah.
Down in it.
The Marriott Marquis here in downtown Atlanta, Georgia. You've seen it. If you watch any Marvel movies, you've seen it for sure.
Literally any. Yeah.
If you've seen the Loki series on Disney Plus, the TVA is the atrium for the Marriott Marquis Hotel. But I digress. That is one of the Dragon Con host hotels. And that is their atrium is it's the party hub. With the some exception to the Hyatt, but mm-hmm. That's where all the costumes go to get their pictures taken. It's where everybody hangs out. It's where everybody goes to party. And it's just a huge, huge, huge mass of people. We have not gone to the Marriott this
and it's
year.
Certainly going to be, it's less bodies. I mean, we're seeing pictures and stuff come up on Facebook. And it's like mathematically has to be less bodies than it has been.
Right.
Like we'd all have to be in it with the head count. I will admit, like when you're trying to get to something through it, it can feel frustrating or if you're tired.
Mm-hmm.
But the energy when we do get back to being at normal Dragon Con capacity, unknown and undisclosed, I think I will really like that and being able to be in that atmosphere.
You're looking forward to the big crowd, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean it's a double-edged sword, of course. Now these are the number of attendance that we have this year. It reminds me, because I've been going to Dragon Con since 2008, and it is attendance has steadily increased every year in the intervening time. So what we're seeing now is reminiscent of how it was when I first started going to Dragon Con. So it was, I'm not going to lie, it was nice to not have to fight for everything. The elevators are still very busy. You can't do anything about that.
But. Right. Well, and we didn't go in like the vendor rooms. We just went to the pop art.
The pop art alley. Yep.
But having less people for that is nice. It is like that. Yep. And it's gotten better even in my first year was 2011, because it's in a different building. You know, they're like, we have the five host hotels and America's Mart, which is a big, like, it's not a conference center.
It's like a, I don't want to say convention center, like a trade show center.
Right.
Right.
That's literally what it is, I think. Yes. But what the fuck is that?
Right.
The signage that's in there for stuff is weird, though, because it'll be like betting brands and stuff with their like the non-con section when you look over stuff we're not using. Like,
right.
That is like a whole thing that happens that unless you do that, you would never think about.
Right. Right.
Anyway.
But Dragon Con, we're here. We're loving it. We're a little tired. We're a little sore. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to hear your feedback. If you're mad at us for going, let us know.
I get it. I do. Like, I definitely have had people that I love and respect that have said the negative things about that. And I do appreciate that perspective. And I did contemplate, like, should we do any con stuff? Any right. at all?
We did actually consider just hunkering down in the hotel room and not doing anything.
And I like if I'd seen people not wearing masks, if I'd seen larger amounts of congestion where it's not like people moving through, because your main issue is people unmasked, small spaces, long periods of time.
Right.
I would have absolutely not stayed. Like, I feel like we've had plenty of time to internalize the information that's been given from credible sources,
right,
about what is and is not dangerous, and try to make a conscious choice to be as safe as possible while also maintaining some sanity. Obviously, I think if it had been like, we'll roll over your hotel room, once the Delta variant was in play, that would have been a no-brainer.
Right.
No-brainer. Or if you live locally and that's not an issue, again, like, would have stayed home. Not a big deal.
Right.
But comparing it to, in my head, and making that decision, you know, not wanting to regret my choice to things like Sturgis, that I was like, holy shit, they're doing the second Sturgis in a pandemic. What the fucking fuck?
Yeah, Google Sturgis. You'll see what we mean.
Oh, yeah, it's not. And I've actually, it's a weird thing, but the summer I was 16, my family was traveling back west across South Dakota mm-hmm. as Sturgis was like finishing up. So there's still a lot of that, those people that right. have gone in the area. So I have a very vivid impression of right. of that.
Right.
And it is not one event with formal rules and structure like it's, Dragon Con.
It's kind of bedlam.
It's just a bunch of people show up in a limited, like a fairly unpopulated area and do what they want.
Right.
And I, yeah, that is much, much higher risk. And they're not as mild-mannered as, like, granted, bad shit goes down at Dragon Con and there are bad people, but
there's a certain, it's okay, guy, it's a biker event, it's a biker gathering, and there is a certain reputation that goes along with that.
We are a different culture than them.
Yes.
And that doesn't make them bad. But in a pandemic, I would like to be with the people in the nerd camp.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I have been to at least one biker convention. I was there as a vendor 1 year right outside of Cherokee, North Carolina. And it's just the thing. There were, you know, there weren't people breaking beer bottles over their heads. It was, you know, people coming, going, enjoying themselves. It was fine. We're not trying to say that at all, that bikers are, you know, irresponsible people or that they're bad people. We're just telling you that Sturgis happened and it's hugely, hugely attended and no provisions were made for COVID,
and a lot of people got sick. And you know what? To me, another of the ethical calculus is the service workers and the surrounding community when you come in. Like, our hotel staff at the Westin are way masked up. They are, you know, hopefully they are not getting sick. Like, yes, that concerns me.
Yes.
So, but yeah, I think to be more positive, the hiatus from con going, and I know we talked about this at Con Carolina's, really brings home what parts of conventions and fandom that I care about and missed and want to be part of.
Yes.
And seeing Mikey Mason at Con Carolina's, you know, the first anything we'd gone to in so long was really all the feels.
It felt very good.
Yeah.
Yes.
And certainly being down in the Dragon Con Filcrum, seeing Mikey, fantastic. Mm-hmm. He has several new songs that I've heard a couple times now, but seeing people that haven't heard them experience them for the first time is an utter delight.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Mikey Mason fans know what we're talking about. And we've had Mikey Mason on the show before, did a whole episode on Mikey Mason, had a giveaway. Nobody entered the contest, so nobody won. Just wanted to bring that up again. Anyway, carry on.
And then we also, this afternoon, saw Valentine Wolf, who our Greenville, South Carolina-based. Mm-hmm. We consider them friends.
Yes, we do.
Certainly in our extended social circle in Greenville. We are somehow temporally or geographically incapable of seeing them perform in Greenville, South Carolina. However, we often see them in Charlotte and Atlanta.
Right. We see them, yeah, everywhere but where we both live. It just seems the universe conspires for us to not see Valentine Wolf in our own hometown. But
They are incredible musicians. Their music really is, does not shy away from the darkness. In fact, like, snuggles it a little bit.
Right.
So, yeah, I seeing them perform and knowing them as people and knowing it, it means a lot for them to be able to perform again. And just the power of their music itself was very
right.
Yeah,
it's very goth. They've updated their name of what they call their genre now. I don't want to say it was goth metal. I want to say it was something else, but
I know
something like that. But you had mentioned how talented they are musically. Mm-hmm. Every time I see Valentine Wolf perform, I come back and I apologize to my bass guitars. They're just that good.
Just to be thorough, I don't know what they're calling their stuff now, but they used to use the label Victorian Chamber Metal.
Yes.
And Braxton is his day job. Is upright bass for the Greenville Symphony.
Yes.
And he's a doctor of bass.
He is Dr. Bass. Braxton, if you're listening, I really think you should get a supervillain persona called Dr. Bass. That's, I'm just throwing that out there for free. You can have that one.
And in Valentine Wolf, he plays electric upright bass. And they have backing tracks. And Sarah is classically trained operatic singer.
Yeah.
Would that be accurate?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the music things. I'm just like, I like that. It gives me the feelings.
To hear her sing, if she is not trained in operatic singing, I would be extremely surprised.
Well, yeah. But I mean, I know so, they both, like, they went to music school.
Right. They have degrees in music. Yeah. Yes, they are. Yeah, they have more talent in their nail clippings than most of us do.
I mean, talent, certainly, but they have honed their crafts, and they're like, also their passion for metal and other types of music comes through.
Yes.
And I, yeah, they're great. I fangirl.
I still hope to have them on the show at some point. Well, we did talk to them once at Con Carolinas, but that recording turned out so badly. We really need to have them on and do them justice.
It'll happen.
Yes. Valentine Wolf. Wolf has an E on the end. Valentine is just like the holiday.
Mm-hmm. Only spooky.
Yes.
Very spooky. Yeah, they have, it's their newest album is the Emily Dickinson one, right?
That is their latest released album that I know of.
Okay. Because I wasn't sure of order. So, I mean, a lot of their stuff is original. Completely original, but they've done some Edgar Allan Poe inspired stuff. They did an album about Mary Shelley and her mother, not necessarily about Frankenstein. That's really kick ass.
They before, I believe, just prior to the Edgar Allan Poe project, they released an album called A Child's Bestiary, and it's basically mythical creatures story, classic children's stories presented in a gothic dark way. There's a song on that album called Ouroboros, which I could rock out to anytime, anywhere.
The Peter and the Wolf one, like, that is what you play to give your child nightmares.
Yes.
Or your 41-year-old. Yes. Whatever. It's spooky. It's very spooky. But I love the Emily Dickinson stuff. That's
yeah, those are really, really, really good. Well, did we have anything? Now, we're still at Dragon Con. This is Sunday night, so Con is most definitely winding down. Like, as we said, there is some programming tomorrow for Monday. And we'll be doing that, probably. Yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
And, but anyway.
I guess the other thing that is really, really important to my con experience, like getting to talk to and meet the artists and see the live musicians that I'll talk to later, because I already have all their albums and they need to sell things to people.
Right.
Love you guys. You know, meeting up with friends, like we met up with the Mosers and Moser adjacent. They all share a room, so it's all there. And other friends.
Yes. Boys to Men, ABC, BBD, the East Coast family.
It is sustaining to see people and even like a brief hug with somebody that you maybe only see once a year, once every couple years. I know we'll probably not cross paths with several people this year just because it's the crazy COVID con, but and you know, it goes fast, but it does mean something. And when you get to sustain those relationships throughout the year online, it is very, very important. So I guess to me, like keeping your Dragon Con and or whatever it is that you love and putting that at the center of your life and like your goals and like the people you surround yourself with.
Right.
It was semi-coherent, but you get what I'm saying.
Yes. Yes. So if you have the feedback that we were telling you could give us, you can reach us on the call-in line at area code 864-715-9446. Email address is nerdblisspod@gmail.com. You can leave a comment on the social media stuff. We'll see it, and we will listen.
And certainly, you know, make the best decision you can for yourself and your family and your community, and do what you love and be with the people that are good and loyal to you, because friendship is magic.
Yes, indeed.
Has arrived at the last of the Babylon stations. The year is 2258. The name of the place is Babylon 5. Disengaging hyperdrive. Begin disembarkation protocol.
Well, there you have it, my friends. Episode 151 is done. If you have any feedback on this or any other Nerd Bliss episode, you can give us a call on the call-in line. And that number is area code 864-715-9446. That number always goes to voicemail. If you leave us a message there, depending on the content, we might actually play your message on the show. You can also reach us by email at nerdblisspod@gmail.com. Or you can comment on all of our socials, which we are on under the handle @nerdblisspod. All music in this recording was used with the appropriate licensing and permissions. Our theme song is a modified version of Hyperdrive by Jens Kilstofta and licensed to us for use by Machinima Sound. Thank you once again for listening to Nerd Bliss. Nerd Bliss is a part of the ESO Network and a product of 4 Foot One Media.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.